as we continue to gather around the cross. You know, the story is told about a young man who left home in anger. Not the prodigal son, but a boy named Tom. But he had the same problem with his father that you read about in the Bible, which is they reached that point where he was tired of listening to what his father was telling him. He had grown to resent everything he heard. He was tired of being accountable. He was angry about everything that was said and every way that his father led him. He began to reject everything that was told to him, everything his father stood for. Finally, with curses and angry words, he stormed away from home and he said, "I will never be back to this place again. I have had enough of you. I've had enough of this house. I've had enough of everything." And he went away, and for a long time his father heard nothing about him. And then he began to hear rumors here and there about the things that were going on in his son's life. He knew about the bad decisions that his son had made, about the dead-end jobs that he had taken, about the destructive habits he had formed. He learned about lost jobs and lost money and how he had reached the point where he was somewhere doing something, living on the streets. After some time went by, his father found out at last that his son was somewhere on the streets of Chicago, and his heart was broken. And he knew all that his boy was going through. So he took out a personal ad in the Chicago Tribune, and this is what it said. It said, "Dear Tom, I love you. I forgive you. I want to help you. If you're ready to come home and start over again, meet me in front of the courthouse at 1 p.m. next Saturday." And on Saturday, the father traveled to Chicago and he made his way to the courthouse there in town in the middle of the city. And at 1 o'clock, 800 young men named Tom showed up. That many young men needed a new chance to start over with their fathers. The world is filled with people who are starving for reconciliation. Their lives have been fragmented by broken relationships of all sorts and all kinds. People who once had things that were happy and whole, and now they're broken and nobody knows how to put it together again. This need for reconciliation has affected marriages and families and friendships and relationships. People have become separated from others, from themselves, from their past, from their future. Most of all, from their Lord. And like those 800 young Toms who showed up at the courthouse that day, they hunger for something that can put things together again. They want to be forgiven. They want to be restored. They want to experience love again the way it used to be. That's true of our relationships with one another, but it's also true about our relationships with God. All of us need the power of reconciliation in our lives. And the Bible says true reconciliation always begins at the cross. There are so many things that Jesus accomplished through the cross. As we were reading that passage together this morning, I was reminded of my problem earlier in the week, which is there is so much truth in those few verses that every passage, every verse, every statement needs its own message. But mostly, we need to hear that message of being reconciled. Reconciled to God, reconciled to people we love, reconciled to whatever it is that has broken us apart from being where we know God wants us to be. So this morning, I want to talk about the power of reconciliation that is only found in the cross of Jesus Christ. And let's jump in together. And as we begin, we need to remember a fundamental truth, a truth that is so basic that it really is the subject of almost everything you find in the entire Bible. And that truth is simply this: human sin has separated us from God. As you look at the problems that are going on in the world around you, As you see the problems that are taking place between nations, between political parties, between individuals, within families, between people, and with God, one of the things you find is almost always at the root of it all is somebody who chose to sin. Sometimes more than one somebody who chose to sin. Human sin has separated us from God. That's just not what I think. That's what the Bible says. Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. If you walked in this morning and your opinion of yourself was, I'm a pretty good person. All in all, I make it all right by myself. If I'm here, it's because I'm doing the Lord a favor by showing up. Let me pop your bubble. There is none righteous. No, not one. And if you're here today, and if you're going to have a spiritual experience, it's going to be because you come before the God who died on a cross and you brought your sin. And you recognize who you are. True of all of us, but it's also true of each of us. Isaiah 59:2 declares, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. What am I saying? I'm saying this. All of humanity has a serious problem. Our relationship with God is broken. Not only is it broken, but it's our fault. We have to be honest about that. That's not easy. Have you ever wondered why it's so instinctive for us to blame somebody else when we know we're in the wrong? I can get up in the middle of the night. I can be walking across a room, not turning on any lights, not seeing, and I kick a chair and stub my toe. You ever done that? And what is the instinctive thing that I say? Judith? Why did you leave that chair out in the middle of the room? Why did you cause me to hurt myself? It's true of small things, but it's also true of big things. I remember one of the most frustrating counseling appointments I ever had as I sat down with a couple that were having all kinds of issues within their relationship. And I sat and I looked at him and I said, okay, look, we have met, this was, several times. We have met several times. I know I understand your grievances, but I want to just ask you something this morning. What have you done that has separated you from your wife? Well, I have my problems too, but she... And then I looked at her and I said, look, and I know you've had your problems with your husband, but what have you done that has provoked him? Well, I'm not perfect, but he... It's them, it's not me. It's them, it's not me. And so many times, the need for reconciliation is one that says, when you start saying, it's me, and then it's them, it's me, and then it's them. By the way, I gave that couple some of the best advice I've ever given anybody. Let me just confess it today. After we had been through a couple hours of this, I finally looked at them and I said, well, it looks to me like the two of you have a choice. You can either be mad or you can be married, but you can't be both. And that was about 25 years ago, and I saw a picture of them not long ago, together and doing well. Big things. One of the horrible things about abusive relationships is that the abuser will always say to his victim, you made me hurt you. It was your fault. And when we face the consequences of our own sin, we look to heaven and we cry out, God, how could you let that happen to me? You know what I mean? I make choices, I take action, I do things, and then the consequences, I reap the consequences of the decisions I've made, and then I begin to say, God, this is your fault. I'm hurting because you let this happen. I've told you before, I used to talk about sins and call them mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes, but I've never sinned yet when it was a mistake. It's an on purpose. I knew what I was doing, and I did it anyway. Not only is my relationship with God broken, but it's my fault. Even worse, there's nothing any of us can do to make things right again. Left to yourself, you will never find a way to restoration. You will never be forgiven. You'll spend your life far away from God and far away from His mercy and eternally apart from Him in a place called hell if you decide, I will fix it myself. You can't fix it. And that's the reason for the cross. See, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says the work of reconciliation was done through the cross. The Bible says, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. Two incredible things this simple statement reveals. The first one is this: God took the initiative in reconciliation. God who has reconciled us to Himself. He did it. He started it. He was the one who initiated it. He was the one who reached out to save. Doesn't seem fair, does it? After all, I offended God. I rebelled against God. I turned away from God. It's all my fault. Why should He be the one that reaches out to me? I want to tell you something. It's a good thing for you that I am not God. Because if I were, and if you sin, and if you fail me, especially if you've done it not once, not twice, but who knows how many times, I would sit in heaven with my arms folded, and I would say something like this: until you come crawling back, begging for a second chance, I'm not going to do anything to help you. In fact, I'll be really honest. If you come back crawling, I still might not do anything, because you have offended me. Aren't you glad that I am not God? Instead, we have a Lord who reaches out to save us. He comes to reconcile us to Himself. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord always takes the initiative. The Lord is always the one who reaches out to begin to reconcile us to Himself. I believe that in everybody's life, there comes that moment when the Holy Spirit pricks your heart. And you begin to realize, God is calling me back. You begin to understand there is mercy in Jesus. You begin to realize there is forgiveness in the cross. And you begin to realize, in spite of who I've been, in spite of what I've done, God still wants me. He wants me desperately. He is calling me to Himself. And until He does that, you're not ready for salvation. But that day will come when He offers you all of those things you need. And all you have to do will be to receive it. It always begins with Him. And the second thing we learn from this verse is this: and God's only means of reconciliation is the cross. It is His one and only means. We are reconciled to God through Christ Jesus, the Bible says. His death on the cross opened the door for us to be made right with God. You can't find your way back to God. You can't earn your way back to God. You can't feel your way back to God. You have to come by the way of the cross. No wonder we treasure the old rugged cross. It's God's way to bring you home. Why is that? Well, our passage tells us again, because the price of reconciliation was paid on the cross. Why does it have to be necessary? Surely there's another way. There can't just be one way to be right with God. There can't be just one road to heaven. There's got to be somewhere else I can turn. But the answer is found in that incredible revelation in verse 21, where the Bible says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." That's why the cross is the only way, because what God did on the cross, He only did one time, and He only did it one way, and there's only one invitation, and it is come by the way of the cross. The power of that verse is found in the words, "be and become." For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. Be is a term that means basic essence. If you're going to understand this verse, you need to understand this. What the Bible describes in 2 Corinthians 5:21 is not a symbolic statement. It is a literal statement. It is not saying in some spiritual way, Jesus carried your sin to the cross. It is saying he who was sinless became sin. All of the sin of all of the individuals and all of the world through all of history were poured on Jesus at the cross. But it's not enough to know he became our sin. It's also that we know that through the cross, we receive his sinlessness. We become sinless as Jesus was sinless. Jesus exchanged his sinless righteousness for our sinful hopelessness. Peter described it this way. He said, Jesus himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. One of the real struggles that so many people have when they read the story of the crucifixion, and as we move toward Easter, we know that story is on the way. But so many people struggle with that exclamation from the cross when Jesus cries out and says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And you wonder, how could God turn away from his son at this moment of greatest sacrifice and greatest agony? And it is because it was in that moment he became your sin. It was no longer his son, it was my sin that cried out from the cross. Why do you have to come by the way of the cross? Because the cross is the only place where the Savior made the great exchange for you. The power of reconciliation was extended from the cross. Listen to this incredible promise from the Bible. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What is the Bible saying? No one can ever truly come to the foot of the cross and walk away unchanged. When you understand what it was and what Jesus did there, and when you understand it was for you, you cannot walk away untransformed. The power of the cross says you don't have to keep being who you used to be. And if you're not a different person after the cross, and I say this seriously, then you may need to examine your salvation. If you can say, I saw the cross for what it was, I understood what Jesus did for me there, I recognized the truth of it, but my life has not changed. You need to ask, have I ever truly received the forgiveness that was extended from the cross? Because the Bible states the truth clearly. Through the cross, we are a new creation. Because of the great exchange, you don't have to carry the burden of your sin anymore. Because of the great exchange, you have Christ living in you and through you. In Ephesians, Paul describes the incredible transformation that is possible in your life because of Christ Jesus. This is what he says in Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Through Christ, you do three things. You put off the old man. That means a forceful rejection. Put off, he says. And the idea, the description of the language is such that it's saying, with great effort, push it away, throw it away, get it away. Recognize it for what it is and get it away from yourself. It says that once you've been to the cross, you look at sin and you react to sin the same way you would when you walk across a snake in the woods. What do? Well, now, there are those of you who would say, oh, let's take a look at that thing. That is so interesting. I remember being at a camp one time with a bunch of boys, and there was a naturalist there, and he said, you know, they always tell you, you can tell whether a snake is venomous by the shape of his nose. But he said, you know, the only way that always works is to watch the bands on his belly. If you look at the bands on his belly, he said, now, I don't remember which, but one, the bands are straight, and the other is diagonal. And I thought, who's going to flip a snake over to see if he's poison? Nor am I going to look at the shape of his nose. Nor am I going to look at anything else. What do you think I do when I come across a snake in the woods? I put it away from myself. Violently. Usually that means I go the other way. I'll never forget. This is not in the sermon notes. We're living in Aliceville. We have the lady in our church, the little widow lady right next door. And she and Judith are out looking at our azaleas because Ed and Earl was a wonderful grower of flowers and plants. And she was helping Judith to learn. And all of a sudden, Judith comes around and she says, Jim, come quick. Get a hoe and come quick. There's a snake in the bushes. And I had to go out there and I had to kill that snake because Ed and Earl was there. And I told Judith later, I said, if you had just not said anything, he could have gone about his business. I could have gone about mine. We would never have had to meet. Put it off. Push it away. Get rid of it. And then he says, through Christ, you are changed from the inside out. You are renewed in the spirit of your mind. It means when God changes you, he doesn't start by changing what you do or where you go or how you live or what you say. He starts in here. He transforms what's on the inside. And once that is changed, then you put on the new man. Then you change the outside. You're free to live that new life that is only possible when he lives in you. How do you explain the way you live? How do you explain the choices you make? How do you explain the places you go, the things you say, the way you carry about your business? How do you explain it? Paul would say this, I explain my life. Because by Jesus living in me, I am the way I am because of him. I do the things I do because of him. My relationship with Jesus transforms everything I do. It's the power of the cross that allows you to become a new creation. So what do you have to do? What do you have to do for all of this to be true in your life? You have to receive it. God's done all the work. He has reconciled. He's done the work of reconciliation. It happened on the cross. It was the great exchange. And God has taken the initiative, and he's reaching out to you, and he's saying, I want you to have what only I can give, and it's free for the taking. All you have to do is receive it. If I can make that decision for you, I would do it, but I can't. If the people who love you could choose Christ for your life, they would do it in a heartbeat, but it's not up to them. It's your decision. Nothing matters more than living the exchange life. Nothing matters more than being reconciled to God through Christ. But you have to make that choice for yourself. No wonder Paul said, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We implore you, beg you, plead with you, can try our very best to convince you. But in the end, it's up to you. We are reconciled to God through Christ and his cross. The question is not, did he do it? It's not, does it work? The question is, have I done it? have I received what only Christ can give? If not, then today is the day when you can receive Christ. In a moment, when we stand and we sing our invitation hymn, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, and you know you don't know Jesus, and you know you need Jesus, maybe you're one of those I talked about a while ago. You came into this service without any intention of getting serious about what Christ can do in your life, but He's been talking to you, and you know you need to come. Just a minute, I'm going to offer an invitation. We're going to stand. You can walk these aisles. I'm going to be at the front. Rich is going to be at the front. If you'll just come and say, I want to know Jesus, we'll help you come to know Him as your Savior. Maybe you're here today and you know God wants you to be part of what He's doing through First Baptist Church. Not just by attending, but by placing your membership in this fellowship. Saying, this is the place where I'm going to worship. This is the place where I'm going to follow. This is the place where I'm going to trust. This is my place that's going to be my church home. Maybe today you need to come forward and say, it's time for me to plant my membership at First Baptist Church. Or maybe you're here as a believer and you've recognized that somewhere in your life there's a great need for reconciliation. Maybe it is a reconciliation with God, but maybe it's a reconciliation with somebody else, and you just need somebody to pray with you that God will help you break through and come to that point where the Lord can do in you and through you what you cannot do yourself. Is there a decision you need to make? We're going to stand. We're going to sing our invitation hymn. As you need to come, you come. Let's stand together.